Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady. Now joined by Mike Boddicker in studio. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Tired. Extra inning games.
You're still locked in, aren't you?
Oh, gosh.
Hey, they've been playing well lately, man.
Just admit it.
They have. They've been playing well. It's just
there's not a whole lot of people watching. So
no,
you're representing many people. You're the eyes for thousands of people in Kansas City.
If you look around Major League Baseball at this time of year, the teams are out of it. They said there's 11,000 in Pittsburgh last night.
No.
I'm looking at the stands going, no, there's no way. Yeah, it's pretty hard to watch. I mean, it's tough. You know your team's out of it. It's just,
I'll tell you what, though. You know what? You look at the TV ratings, which I do on an occasion.
TV, yeah. People will stay.
There's still people watching, yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not what it was, 3 years ago when it was, they were getting 20s in the ratings. It's not that, but there's still, people watch the Royals.
Yeah, this is Kansas City.
Yep.
When we were losing 100 games every year, people were going out to the ballpark.
That's
people
right.
were watching on TV. Great fans. Unbelievable fans here. Of any city around this country, I don't think there's anybody more loyal and better baseball fans than the Kansas City fans. I really don't. And I played for a bunch of teams, and I've never seen anything like it. Not for a team losing like we did for all those years. I mean, they're still loyal. They were still going out, still supporting. It's a great city.
Well, nobody did anything offensively last night, but Eric Skoglund tossed 6 shutout innings. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on his performance?
I thought he threw the ball pretty well. I mean, you're dealing with, we faced a lot of bad teams here lately. Our whole division's bad. Even Cleveland's kind of so-so. It's hard to figure out where we're at. But the thing is, come next year, we know we can compete with these terrible teams. We have it, we could be fighting with Cleveland for a division title with what we have. I mean, it's just
don't say that.
That's just the way that's the way it is. There's just nothing in our division.
Do you really believe that?
Yeah, I do because I watch Detroit. I watch Minnesota. I watch
the White Sox.
Yeah,
they blow, but
still, yeah. You got any other teams in our division we can throw out there besides Cleveland?
I know that's what I'm. You really think the Royals could compete with Cleveland?
I don't know if they can, but look at Cleveland. I mean, how you think a team like that should be so far above what we're with this division?
Well, they are 32.5 games above the Royals.
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's still not where. If they were that good, this would just be a bloodbath in our division. And we face the Indians. We compete with them, we do. It's hard. I try to take the games into perspective where I'm watching pitch by pitch, see location stuff like that. How many pitches go right down the middle of the plate per batter? One or two every at bat. They're missing them. How many times did we strike out last night? 15, 17?
16 at one point when I'll be honest, I actually fell asleep. But they were at 16. Let's see here.
Is that bad? Or
you think?
17. They went to extra innings. They got another one in extra innings. I fell asleep right when they went to extra innings.
Yeah. It's you can't.
That was unwatchable last night.
It was hard. Very, very difficult. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Because I'm sitting there, I'm looking, and I'm going, every guy that comes to the plate, who is this guy? Who is this guy? When we've seen it, we get to this time of year, you're going to see a lot of guys, call-ups getting playing time, and you're going, oh, he does not belong here. He does not belong here. And the pitching should look a lot better right now. The guys who have been here facing these kids that you're going, they're not very good. Not yet, anyway. So it's kind of like coming out of spring training where the pitchers should be ahead of the hitters. And at the end of the year, you get the call-ups, and the pitchers are ahead of the hitters. And it's that time in between where you see what you actually got pitching-wise.
The baseball prospect I'm most interested in watching right now is Patrick Mahomes II.
Yeah.
So
answer me this. How can you score 37 points, not turn the ball over, and lose?
Mahomes? Patrick Mahomes?
There you go.
Mahomes.
There you go.
Do you know how many times?
Wow.
How many times that's happened, by the way, a team that has scored at least 37 points and not turned the ball over at home and still lost?
Once, maybe? Yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah.
So. Well, there's like 383-0 in those scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
Before
I'm sitting there going.
And I'm not kidding. Was that
many? That should never. You're going, wow.
Well, it has never happened until Mahomes.
Yeah.
Just like. You know how many times a quarterback
plus
has thrown
one turnovers?
How many times a quarterback has thrown 10 touchdowns in the first two games of the year? Once.
That's it.
It's Mahomes.
Yeah, he's fun to watch.
He could be playing baseball right now.
Nuh-uh.
could be a nice middle reliever.
Hey, man, we had Jeff Chedia in studio yesterday, and he was for like an hour and a half, and it was great because. And great timing for him because the feature that he did on Patrick Mahomes II aired on NFL Network Sunday morning, the day he throws six touchdown passes. And last week, a lengthy feature that he wrote.
I didn't get that.
For NFL.com. I keep tweeting at you, and you just won't answer me. And so I just thought you would love that because it started off with did you hear this? Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? The story about, I think it was the 2000 World Series.
Mm-mm.
And Patrick Mahomes II, you're going to love this. And so apparently his dad would have him out there shagging fly balls at a very young age. And that's, you know, that's common.
That's pretty normal, yeah.
You know, we've talked to B-Mac when his dad was with the Reds, how many of those kids from that Reds team grew up to be Major League Baseball players. It's kind of crazy. And so Jeff Chedia spent some time with Pat Mahomes talking about Patrick Mahomes II. And so I couldn't wait to read this to you. And Nate, I don't know if you've read this yet, but I love this story. So this is how it started off. The ball smacked against the bat of third baseman Robin Ventura and immediately shot high and deep into the sky. Patrick Mahomes II steadied himself instantly as he tracked the ball, soaring above him in the vast outfield of Yankee Stadium, then trotted a few feet to his right. The New York Mets coaches had warned Mahomes' father, Patrick Sr., about the potential dangers involved in allowing a 5-year-old kid to shag fly balls during batting practice in a major league ballpark, let alone one that was about to be the stage of Game 1 of the 2000 World Series between New York's crosstown rivals. The older Mahomes simply blew off the concerns, knowing full well his boy might learn a thing or two about testing his limits. So young Patrick coasted towards the ball while Mets pitcher Mike Hampton followed behind him. His dad, a reliever with the Mets at the time, watched the action closely from the spot in the bullpen. It didn't take long for the father to see how talented the son would be. Patrick settled in under the fly ball, hoisted his gloved left hand into the air, made the catch look so easy, even the professionals standing nearby chuckled and shook their heads in disbelief.
And then he threw a bullet in the air to home plate.
He's out there at 5 years old, shagging fly balls before Game 1 of the World Series. Robin Ventura cranks one to the outfield of Yankee Stadium. Five. And he's standing and just making catches. And Chedia told the story that the players just... You know, and you're getting a kick out of that because there's this little 5-year-old kids out there running around doing all these things. And then later on, before he was an eighth grader, he was throwing 91 miles an hour on the gun. And then eventually, like 97 or 98, he's a high school player. Like, this is the stuff of legends, like Paul Bunyan tales. You know, a 5-year-old kid running around shagging fly balls like a teenager.
Said they didn't want him playing football, they wanted him playing baseball.
Yeah.
And he would love football.
But isn't that an awesome story? I love
it
that
is.
Story.
And that's
amazing.
And written by Jeff Chedia. What a wonderful job Jeff did, you know, writing the story and doing all the research and talking to everyone and talking to LaCroy Hawkins about it. But I had never heard that story, and I just love it, you know? It's like this – and it kind of – and the point was that since he was 5 years old, the stage has never been too big for him. The moment is, you know, five-year-old kids, it's hard to get them to do anything. But say, hey, yeah, go out there in the outfield and shag these fly balls right before the World Series. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, and his dad was like in the bullpen watching him from afar.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even sound real.
Well, like, I mean, I'm thinking of my 8-year-old son who just about now is getting to the point where I feel like I can throw the ball as hard as I want to at him, and he's pretty much going to catch it. But for the past 2 or 3 years, it's like I need to kind of lob it to him.
My youngest boy was like that. I don't James, he could catch. I'd throw batting practice, and he would catch for the coaches hitting ground balls to the infielders during batting practice. And they were rolling him in there, and he goes, no, throw it. Yeah. Or throw it in there, catch it and hand it to him. I mean,
but you know, that's rare for a 5-year-old.
It's very rare.
Just to catch a ball that's thrown right at you. Mm-hmm. Because what you're afraid of is
very rare.
It might hit him in the face. Yeah. Like, and then they're going to be scared of the ball for the rest of, you know. I mean, I remember I was asking Mike McFarland about that when my son was 4 or 5 years old. Like, how do I start playing catch with him? And he said, start with a tennis ball, because if you hit him in the face, they're not going to want to play catch anymore.
That's right.
And they're just not that good at catching at this point, you know? So you just got to work it in slowly. The last thing you want is to drill a kid in the face with a baseball at an early age, because they'll not want to do it anymore.
He didn't say go ahead and track fly balls hit by major leaguers in the outfield at Kauffman Stadium. That didn't
come up. No,
it's strange. That is very odd.
Thinking about that track, I don't know.
Because you watch my 8-year-old kids play, and like, if there's a fly ball hit over their head, what do? They stand like they're on roller skates with their glove up in the air, and then they watch it land over their head, you know?
from the time, a lot of these major league kids, they started from the time they were just, you know, 2 years old playing catch and dad with them all the time. And then it's funny because some kids take to it and some kids don't. Because I remember my youngest, he would sit on my lap at 2 years old, watch a full major league baseball game, get down, ask me questions about it, try to imitate it out in front of me, how to turn a double play at 2.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen.
That's rare.
That's very rare, you know. And Mahomes is one of those kids where I'm sure from the time he could walk, he had a ball in his hand, never stopped. And he wanted to learn. That's what I like about him. That tells me right there, from the time he was little, he wanted to learn. So this kid's not going to quit learning when it comes to football. He won't stop till he gets everything figured out. And you never do, so he'll continue to learn for the rest of his life. He's amazing. He really is.
The only guy I've seen
that I'm going, wow, when they throw footballs, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers can
yesterday, and then yesterday I told Jeff, I said, hey, so tell me some – because he's covered all these quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I said, tell me someone he reminds you of, or give me something. And then even Jeff kind of goes, well, I probably shouldn't be doing this considering who I'm sitting across from. But it goes back to this story. It reminds me of when Tom Brady was a rookie. I got to stop. his demeanor and not that he doesn't care, but like after, you know, he was there in the locker room after this game against Pittsburgh. And it's not like, oh, look, 6 touchdown passes.
He's giving credit to all his weapons and his O-line and stuff like that.
It's almost like he expected to do this. Like, oh, you know, okay, so now let's move on to the next thing.
Yep.
And he said that was what Brady was like after – so Jeff told the story about spending time in Tom Brady's hotel room after he won his first Super Bowl. And he's just there with a buddy watching a replay of the game, and they're talking about going to Disney World, and it's like he didn't just win the Super Bowl, and he goes, and they ask him, can you go to Disney World tomorrow? You know, because you're the Super Bowl MVP, and so he goes up to Bill Belichick's room, and say, Coach, you know, they just kind of, is it okay if I go to Disney World or you know and not go back on the team flight? And Belichick's like, he goes, Tom, you just won the Super Bowl. You can do whatever the hell you want. and it's kind of like with the Holmes. It's like he's doing all these things. And I was like, well, you know, just go back. And you know, I'm glad we played pretty well.
Yeah, what are you going to do on your birthday? Watch film?
Right. I'm going to go home and watch film on the 49ers.
Yeah.
Boing.
Well, I asked Beasler about that yesterday, too. And he's been around some of the greatest, you know, players in the world at his sport. And, like, what separates them? And he said those guys – that have the ability to not get too high and too low,
yeah,
which is
exactly
the old cliche.
You can't tell if they're having a bad day or a great day.
Yeah.
They're just steady, and nothing phases them. That's a great gift.
Because we haven't seen him have a bad day yet, but he'll have a bad day.
He'll have a bad day. I mean, for everybody in Kansas City, he will have one of those tough days. And I'd almost guarantee you, hey, we'll get better, and I'll be better next time. Don't worry about it. He's one of those kids, man. He's special. When they went out and drafted him, they saw that somewhere along the line.
When we watched him in preseason last year, I can't remember which game it was. He had a couple of rollout throws where he just, you know, fit it through these little tight windows while on the run, and his accuracy wasn't. I was like, man, I remember saying on the air the next day, like, the only guy I've seen make throws like that in the league is Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. And it sounds stupid to say that about a rookie who hasn't played a real game yet, but that's what you see. And then, like, now he's playing games, real games, that make you go, yeah, he actually really is. It wasn't stupid for us to say things like
that.
Yeah,
when I look at him, I said the only one I can even compare him to as far as arm and accuracy and getting the ball, get rid of the ball quick, is Rodgers.
So I like the way we've shoehorned a Patrick Mahomes discussion into this segment with Mike Boddicker, but you're loving it too.
I am. I think it's great.
And this is another guy that gets thrown out there, and some people don't like it, but whatever. He's still a Hall of Famer. So I retweeted this clip from an interview that Brett Favre did yesterday, and he was asked about Patrick Mahomes. So let me take this opportunity to play this clip from Brett Favre talking about Patrick Mahomes a second.
Andy's going to put him in the best position to succeed based on his strengths and weaknesses and the guys around him. And, you know, coordinators, when they go in and they play Kansas City, you know, they're not just stopping Mahomes. There's an entire cast that's pretty doggone good. And I think Mahomes' talent is as good as anybody in the league now and has ever played the game. And he's going to pose problems to coordinators that, I'm not going to say that they haven't faced before, but, you know, the guys are creatures of habits. And I say the guys, the coordinators, and you call your stuff, and you expect the guys to, you know, to execute it to the best of their abilities. And I think the kid will get nothing but better. Now, does that mean he's going to throw 8 touchdowns next week? More than likely not. You're absolutely right. There'll be some downtime. You know, I mean, he started so good. You know, he can only go down to – and I don't mean that in a negative way. But you just can't mass produce like that week in and week out. I don't think, but that's not a knock against him at all. I think the guy has played outstanding, and he was drafted in the first round for a reason, and they traded up for him because they thought enough of him, and I think he's just proven that they made the right decision.
I'd like to hear Hall of Fame quarterbacks talk about Mahomes like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good, and he will yeah. have some down games, and the thing is, we can't give up 30-some points a game and expect to win all these games. Can't. And I know because we had big leads in a couple games that you know, the defense backs off a little bit and allows a lot more yardage because they don't want any big strikes. But still, we got to tighten it up. If we can give up just 20, 25, 24 points a game, we'll win these games because he's going to, even on a down day, put up some numbers.
Well, they have faced two of the best offenses they're going to face all year mm-hmm. on their home field, so you'd think that the numbers will come down a little bit. I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting this to be a top-10 defense at any point this season.
No, just get me close to middle of the road. Yeah, middle of the road, and we're – wow. Yeah.
This could be the best offense in the NFL.
Just the weapons he has to work with his talent. How do you stop that?
I just love the fact that the Steelers came out afterwards, too, and said, we underestimated his intelligence.
Bud Dupree.
We tried to throw mm-hmm. a bunch of different looks at him and blitzes, and he was ready for every one of them.
Every one of them.
That's the stuff, because you're like, we already know the talent's there. Like, that's nobody's questioning that.
They're trying to see
that.
If they could shake this kid up, and they couldn't shake him up. They could not shake him up. That's impressive. It really is.
I mean, we're sitting here watching the start of what could be one of the most unforgettable eras in Kansas City sports history. And it sounds like it's so absurd to say that after 3 starts by the guy. But like George Brett had this unforgettable era in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. How long did he play for the Royals? 15 years? 20 years?
100 years.
20 years?
20.
And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to play 20, but like, I mean, it could be that type of thing. We could be talking about a George Brett type era in Kansas City. That's what's possibly in front of us, and we're seeing the start of it right now.
We're due for another one of those athletes.
We are.
We're due for one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs have never really had it. I mean, they didn't draft Len Dawson, you know?
But you got to remember, he threw several interceptions in training camps.
So. People were really worried about that, weren't they? Yeah. It's kind of like guys giving up home runs in spring training and he's lost it. No, he hasn't.
I was able to come on and illustrate how stupid those people were saying that and worrying about that. I mean,
you got to test your limits when it comes to that
stuff. But I was up there like, what are we talking about this?
Yeah.
Why are we talking about this? It's effing training camp, but we've moved on, and here he is.
That's all we had to talk about at that
time.
And
here's the transition that you will salute. Speaking of young players and numbers, that's something we're looking at with the Royals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Young players
right.
and numbers. And so I'm going to ask you about Ryan O'Hearn, who now has 11 home runs in 122 at-bats. He has a slash line of .279, a .380 on base, and a .648 slug, an OPS of over 1,000 in 122 at-bats. Look, is he going to do that over the course of a whole season? No. But now, based on what you've seen from him in the sample size, and this will be by far the highest slugging percentage any Royals rookie has ever had with the minimum of 100 plate appearances in the season. What? Because some people say, it's just got to be a fluke.
He's got a pretty swing.
What do you
see? He's got a really pretty swing, and he'll hit the ball the other way. The teams will make adjustments. You say that, but, my God, nobody can locate a ball. Pitchers cannot locate. They're going to make multiple mistakes per at bat, it seems like, anymore. So I'm not saying it can't happen. I just, as far as pitchers locating pitches, it's like, gosh.
Like, could he really be a 30 home run guy?
25 to 30. He could be with what we've got, what I'm seeing out there in our division, pitching wise. Yes.
He's only 25, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He literally could. He's got a really pretty swing. He's got some holes, but nobody can throw it there multiple times to exploit it. But he's going to get some pitches to hit. And as long as he takes the same approach he's taken, yeah, he could possibly do it. Because he can go deep, pulling or going opposite field.
At the very least, he's earned the right to be the opening day first baseman and to get
the longest of looks. He's put enough time in up here and showed what he can do. And, yeah, I would. No question about it. Yep. Him and Mondesi are the two guys that I looked at. Mondesi's improved, and he keeps improving. He had a tough game last night. But overall, yeah.
229 at-bats for Mondesi. And so he's battled injuries over the course of his career.
That's the only thing that scares me with Mondesi he seems a little, for his size, a little frail. He needs to get a little bit stronger.
But being ultra conservative, then, so if you want to double the at bats and say, you know, over the for 450 at bats for a season, right? And again, it's just half a season of numbers, but you're talking about having a guy hit close to 20 home runs and 50 stolen bases, hitting .284, the .311 on base isn't great, but a .467 slug and OPS close to .800. That's upper half. That's almost near elite offensive numbers for a shortstop.
Bottom line elite for a shortstop.
20 homers.
We've got some great
steals?
Shortstops in this league now. There's some really good shortstop.
He's got all the tools defensively, too.
He does. And the one thing.
But 2 months ago, we didn't know, or 3 months ago, whatever, O'Hearn and Mondesi, I mean, who knew?
Yeah, but we had Duda.
Right. Well.
why did you? He was in a good mood. Yeah.
No, he wasn't. He started this show today at 6 o'clock this morning, and he was like this, and he's talking.
Right.
And I said, I got to mention Duda to get you perked up.
Even that's not going to perk me up.
Really?
You know? Well, what, you know,
what about Mahomes?
Yeah, well.
That'll perk you up. Are you just, you're just tired from yesterday. You were so pumped up.
Nah, I wouldn't. Yeah,
Monday.
Long story.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'll let it go at that.
So Mondesi is hitting .313 in September with three home runs, three doubles. What I want to ask you about is September numbers, because you said earlier,
it's hard to. The thing is,
it's all we have to go off of.
Yeah,
but I've had
it's all we have to go off. September numbers are very. It's kind of like spring training numbers to me.
Yeah.
It's hard to put that in perspective. Like I said, the start of the year and the end of the year, those numbers are, it's that chunk in the middle that make the difference. And we'll see what happens next year. But, you know, with what I'm seeing in this division, why not? Why can't it be that way? I mean, and I keep looking at these teams going, they got to have something better someplace along the line. They don't. I'm looking at these teams going, and I'm really tired of hearing people, yeah, man, he's very athletic. He's got a great, you know. So what? You can't play the game of baseball. Everybody's drafting these super athletic people that can't play the game. Give me Moose. Give me that dirt bag, kind of little dumpy, that can play the game. Give me a few of those guys. I'll take some athletic guys in there.
So
guys that can steal some bases.
They call you and say, hey, what should we be looking at in the draft? You say dumpy dirt bags.
You betcha. If they can play the game.
Right.
Give me a guy that can play baseball.
Why do you keep looking at me when you say dumpy
dirt bags? I'm looking at Nate off the side here. That's he's got a bad.
He's already made one weight joke at my expense today.
Let's take a break. We've got more from Mike Boddicker in studio after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with our friend Mike Boddicker in the studio with us, talking Royals baseball, talking Patrick Mahomes, and many other things. And yesterday,
KU football.
Well, hey, go ahead.
Those Jayhawks, huh?
Mm. Yeah. Hey, they got a chance this weekend.
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if they somehow won this game this weekend.
Get ahead of yourself.
We'll be sitting there going, had they not blown that game against the 1AA team in week one, you'd be talking like, you'd be dreaming about a bowl game. You know? Maybe 3-0 right now.
Man, they still might be dreaming about a bowl game.
Unbelievable. We'll see. We'll see what happens Saturday.
Any takeaways?
Well, I don't think they're going to be +6 like every week, like they have in the last couple weeks. But I mean, they're not. It's not just the takeaways. They're putting up numbers. They ran for like 400 yards against Rutgers. I know
Rutgers is bad.
I mean, how about that Big Ten, huh?
Ooh.
They had a rough weekend last weekend.
They did. Iowa beat Northern Iowa.
See, there you go.
Now they're going to play Wisconsin.
2-0 in the state, aren't they?
Yeah. Hawkeyes. Yeah, that doesn't happen very often.
Hey, Wisconsin lost to BYU.
I know it.
They're beatable.
Yeah. You just don't know.
So I'm going to, based on our conversation, I'm going to guess that you're not a big believer in the Indians in the playoffs.
No.
You don't have
No.
You don't have
them
pegged in the World Series?
Uh-uh. No. No. You can't just turn on that light switch and go. Doesn't happen that way.
Who do you like in the American League? Like, what teams do you think are the – I mean, obviously, everybody loves Boston. They've already won 103
Boston's
games.
Amazing. New York's pretty damn good.
I think Oakland's going to be sneaky in the postseason.
Oakland lost last night.
They lost three in a row.
Yeah, I know. I don't get the vibe from Oakland.
That bullpen, though.
That's a good bullpen.
That's what. Maybe I'm just still thinking about the 2015.
Yeah, I know
Royals.
You are because I just don't see it. Just don't get that vibe from Oakland.
Nobody ever says Houston.
Houston's a given.
But I mean, just to good.
They're going to peak here this next month, and watch out. Scary.
So what about the Yankees now that Aaron Judge came back last night? But we don't know if Aaron Judge, I mean, what he's going to be after that wrist injury. It took him a lot longer to come back than before. But he clearly is.
Why not wait? Their record's going to indicate they're going to be in the playoffs anyway. So why hurry to get him back?
Right. But now his back, shake some of the rust off, and, you know.
Yeah, give him a little time to shake the rust off.
Do you guys realize that the Tampa Bay Rays, who are 5.5 games out of a playoff spot, have the exact same record as the Indians?
Yeah.
They're 84-66. Blake Snell is a beast.
He is a beast. Did you watch him? I watched that game against the Royals. I'm going, ooh, this kid's nasty.
He's thrown 169 innings. He has 200 strikeouts. He has 20 wins. I know people scoff at wins now, but you know what? That says something.
That's pretty impressive to get 20 wins when you only got 169 innings.
Yeah, I mean, winning 20 games in today's baseball is almost seems impossible.
And a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah.
And 200 strikeouts and 169 innings.
He's real nasty.
Across the board, those are stupid numbers for a 25-year-old left-hander. He's a stud.
I think that does put it into perspective. What Bod's talking about with our division, though, is that, like, nobody's talking about the Rays. They're not even really in the playoff race. They're 5.5 games out of the wild card, yet they would be leading the American League Central by 14.5 games.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly it. That's how bad our division is. I was listening to something on the radio. One of the guys they had on was saying, you know, could be the worst division ever. Our division this year.
And like... Does anything about the White Sox, Tigers, or Twins tell you, oh, they're about to be really good?
No, I kept thinking, you know, a year ago, I'm going, okay, they got some nice young pieces that come in. They have not panned out to what everybody was saying. I'm sitting there going, they're not good.
Like the White Sox had traded away all these guys. They got all these prospects, and maybe they will turn good. But so far.
Nothing. No. Man.
What do you think, Steven? Is there anybody you like in this division for the future? Like, you watch the prospects more closely than I do.
Well, so, like, their best prospect, you know, they refuse to call up. That Eloy Jimenez, and that's a whole other story, and a controversy where, so, you look at his numbers, like a double-A, a triple-A, and I don't know, it's one player, but still... We've seen what
that's one more year of control if they keep him down. That's
but like his slash line, like with a straight face, they don't call him up. His slash line this year is 337, 384, 577. And since he's been called up to AAA, which is her half of that, 355, 399, 597. And like,
no call up.
He
still needs some seasoning. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. The Lowry seasoning.
And they're like, what? And so it's like, yeah, they do have a nice collection. And their best starting pitcher, like Michael Kopech, who the kid that faced Patrick Mahomes when they were in high school, he's their best pitching prospect. And so, you know, until I see those guys up, I'm so excited about them. But, no, a lot of the guys that they have acquired, like Lucas Giolito at the time when they acquired him, was recognized as one of the top pitching prospects in all of baseball. And he has just been awful. He's shown glimpses of it awful at the major league level. So, yeah, they have been disappointing. But the number one prospect of all of baseball, they refuse to call up from AAA, even though it's putting up video game numbers. But I think the Indians, like Trevor Bauer, that was a really bad injury that they had down the stretch. I mean, he's one of the top, at least one of the top 10 starting pitchers in the American League. I just feel like with Trevor Bauer and Corey Kluber, you know, and those guys, I don't know. I feel like, and it's almost a statement of the rest of the division. I feel like there's no one really that close to the Indians. Unless, I mean, the Royals, I don't know. What do you think of the Royals starting pitching moving forward? Brad Keller looks really, really
Keller
good.
Keller looks good.
And
Junis looks good.
Good about Junis. Then after that, who do you feel good about? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that scares me about the Royals.
Yeah, but if you have two studs, if you can develop,
but are they studs or are they like solid pitchers?
Division, they're studs.
Okay, I'm not telling.
For our division, they're studs. They really are. I mean, I haven't seen much better out there in our division. Have you?
Well, I mean, so like Kluber's 19-7 with a 293. Yeah, Clevenger's got a 306 ERA. Bauer was 12-6 with a 222 ERA when he got hurt. Carrasco's got a 343 RA. I mean, their fifth starter, Shane Bieber, is a rookie who's got somewhat similar numbers to like a guy like Junis, and he's just their fifth starter. I mean, Kluber, Clevenger, Carrasco, and Bauer, that's where I separate them from the rest of the division.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they have very good starting pitching.
Now their bullpen has been a mess.
Bad.
Their bullpen has been a mess.
Do you feel good about our bullpen?
No.
Me either.
No. No, sir.
That needs to be addressed.
Now
we have some nice young parts as far as position players.
Right.
And Dozier's looking better. He's looking more relaxed. I don't know if he can compete for a full year that way. We'll see. We've got a few parts and some kids possibly on the way. And that's what we needed to find out this year.
Right.
To start the year. Who can fit in when the next wave of these kids that they're looking for, will these guys fit with that group?
Like, I feel better about the offensive players because, again, go back to around the All-Star break to now, all of a sudden Ryan O'Hearn and Mondesi,
those are the two that step. Right. I do really like O'Hearn's swing. It's pretty. Oh, man.
And what Merrifield's been terrific.
He's been what he always is. I mean, he's solid.
And so then we're talking about, okay, in the infield, so they have to
how do we change this bullpen? Where do we go?
You tell me.
How are they going to get more pieces for this?
Well, they invested a lot of draft picks into college pitchers that, you know, are they going to pan out? How quickly are they going to be ready?
We don't know. We don't know.
Here's a crazy idea.
Do it.
Danny Duffy back to the bullpen.
It's not crazy.
He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
No.
As a starting pitcher.
No.
They've had a lot of success taking starting pitchers who can't quite put it all together as starters and turning them into, Hochaver, Wade Davis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tried Wade Davis. He was a terrible starting pitcher for the Royals. They put him in the bullpen. He became the best reliever in the game.
Yep. That does not sound crazy to me.
I know they're paying him a lot of money. They're not paying him money to be a middle reliever, but maybe you have a chance to
beats the hell out of the DL, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you got a chance, and we've seen how valuable it can be. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to need help out there. You know, even if these young kids continue to throw well as starting pitcher, you're still going to get to that pen. And if the pen is not at least solid, it doesn't have to be great, just solid. It's not going to help anyway. So I don't know. Maybe Mahomes could be a dual player.
I'd love him to be. So the rotation next year, Junis and Keller and Duffy.
I like Nate's idea of putting Duffy in the pen. Find another starter.
Would they actually do that, though, do you think? I'm talking about the Royals front office.
I don't know.
If they thought it was the right move, I think they would. And I actually think Danny's the kind of guy that would say, hey, whatever the team needs.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, so then fill out the rest of the rotation after Junis and Keller.
I'm not saying they will do it because they might not think that's the right move.
But who do you like enough, do you think? Who would you like to see based on the roster now in the rotation to start next year besides Junis and Keller? Duffy, clearly, until they make that move, you have to consider him part of the rotation. Then so Skoglund?
They're on the hook for Ian Kennedy.
Phil Meyer, Ian Kennedy, Jorge Lopez.
I'd go with Lopez out of that group.
Does it make you feel any better that Ian Kennedy's pitched well and is two games back from injury? I know it's September, but six innings, one run, six innings, two runs.
The only reason he's on the team is the contract. So anything you can get out of him.
It's a big contract.
Right.
Big contract. Nobody's going to take it.
I think he's going to be in the rotation next year.
Right.
He's healthy.
No, I agree. He definitely will.
It's not because of performance. It's because of to justify the money, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shame, but yeah.
And you're no
that's
fan.
The way it's going to be.
You don't like him. You don't think Phil Meyer is a.
I don't know. I mean, you could flip a coin on any one of those first three that you mentioned, and and hope.
Do you remember when we used to wonder where Nate Carnes would fit in? You remember when he was day to day? I mean, is he what? I just saw his name on the death chart on the DL. Like what?
Did you say death chart?
Well, as far as his career,
Freudian slip.
Right.
No, I forgot about him too.
Right. So
it's amazing when guys go on the DL how you for a length of time how you forget about them.
Especially
they're not. They're not part of the.
Right.
What's going on? It's.
I mean, for so long, nothing definitive was ever said about him.
Right.
Like
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So that see for me that's, I feel better about the position.
So
players.
Basically, it's he's the Eric Berry of.
Wow. No, because Eric Berry has actually, you know, done things.
That's true.
Major league level.
He's an all pro.
Carnes had like one decent year and that's it.
What's your take on Berry? Is he going to practice or not?
Well, so they float stuff out to the national media more than they do to the local media.
That's because they hate you.
Right. Well, no.
Okay.
Yeah, probably. But the point is, so Ian Rappaport tweeted out that there's a possibility.
That one too.
There's a possibility he could practice. And so at least they're putting that out there. The sideline reporter before the game said they're hopeful he could play, you know, in the next couple of games. And look, they've said that they think that he's getting better, but he hasn't. It's been so long, 5-6 weeks. It's been forever since he's even practiced.
Yeah.
And so again, today, when Andy Reid goes.
If he does practice, it's going to be a week or two before he can play, right?
No, I think if he practices today or tomorrow, he'll play.
Yeah, but he hadn't done anything.
He hasn't, yeah. But there's also the chance he's been doing things that we don't know about. There's only a portion of practice that's open, and who knows, man. There's so much mystery and cloak and dagger around everything.
See how I turn that back to football?
Right. But it was a negative. Patrick Mahomes is going to practice. He'll be ready to go on Sunday against the
– I still like the thought of him being a dual sport guy and coming in, being part of our bullpen.
He could probably be the closer for the Royals.
Oh, man. Except for it would break into football, baseball, right. It'd be pretty tough.
But if he hurt his arm, then I would be furious and I would blame the Royals.
Yeah, you're right. Never mind.
Mike Boddicker is in the studio. We'll take a break, and we'll join Gary Lezak after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John here for our friends with Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Kansas City. And they're looking for big brothers and also big couples. Don't forget, you can become a big couple if you're in a committed long-term relationship and be matched with one waiting little brother like Robert, who's 12 years old and has been waiting for 227 days. Robert is described as funny, shy at first, and a joy to be around. Robert enjoys Legos, video games, and Pokemon, and would like to get better at cooking, creating, and memorizing things. He is looking for a big brother who is active and friendly that likes to do stuff outside of the house. And if you think you might be interested in becoming a big brother or a big couple, all you have to do is go to bbbskc.org to learn more about becoming a big. Bigs and littles are matched together based on similar interests and general compatibility and where they live in the city. And the terrific BBB SKC staff supports the matches long-term by providing a professional case manager to help with questions along the way. So again, to learn more about becoming a big, simply visit bbbskc.org.